Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. I hope everybody had a great holiday and an Independence Day. It wasn't very festive, you know, like it usually is, or it just seemed kind of off this year for some reason. And I think I'm going to title today's show Nanny State on Steroids, because I'm not sure exactly when this all happened. The Supreme Court certainly opened a Pandora's box on a lot of things. States' rights are gone. I think the First Amendment's pretty is on its way out, taken over by various muzzlers who want you to just think the way they want you to think. And if you have an opinion, all of a sudden you're enemy number one. I don't know if you saw the video about this child. I think he's in Georgia, but I'm not sure. But he made a video rant about how the left progressives took a lid out on Justice Clarence Thomas for his opinion, and the fact that this actor, George Takei, used to be on Star Trek, called him a clown in blackface, which is completely racist. And there was no hubbub about that. Had that been the opposite, a conservative saying that about a progressive, my God, we would have the end of the world. So this kid, which is totally appropriate, made the same observation. You know, talk about double standard and hypocrisy. And then he got stalked by some psycho on Twitter who said, I hope your whole family dies and it should have been you instead of Trayvon Martin and all this other stuff. And so he sued her. I love that. That's how you shut these people down, guys. If you have any idea of how you work this system, you sue them. Defamation, stalking, terroristic threats. I don't care what you need to do. You need to shut them up. But they understand that. So she then apologized. And she said she never said it. Meanwhile, it's all over Twitter. How do you say you didn't? I love that. That is so key. I mean, that's like the playbook. It's like a stamp. You put poison out there. You expect somebody to cower. If they don't, then all of a sudden you're a victim. So she goes, it's the conservative. No, part of her rant was the GOP should denounce this 12-year-old child. Okay? That was ridiculous. You know, he's a little kid. He's not part of the GOP. Even if he were, what about the First Amendment, right? So after the parents sue him, she apologizes, some strange apology, how she never said it, how she's a victim of the conservative agenda and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was just sick. Like, get some minute. Well, I know I'm not going to say that because I don't really subscribe to psychotropic medication for everybody. But my God, it's like a crazy woman on Twitter. And as soon as she got called to the carpet, all of a sudden it was, I never said it, and I'm the nicest person, and how could he treat me like this? Give me a break. Now we have the sex police are coming down the pipe. You've heard these stories, these college campus stories of people who were raped or said they were, and it comes out that it wasn't necessarily the way they said. So there's a Columbia, I don't know if she graduated yet, but a Columbia student who claimed that she was raped by a fellow classmate. And they went through their internal college review. He got kicked out. Turns out that it was consensual. She texted him, I can't wait for the next time, let's get together. And she carried a mattress around campus because it was to highlight the fact that she was a victim, you know, of sexual assault. What happens to the real victims in all of this? That's what people don't think about. People are attacked every day, and they don't get this kind of media exposure. You have someone like this who makes up something, who becomes her senior thesis. What was it? Some sort of artistic, I forget what you call it, but she made it into an artistic piece, her carrying around this mattress. And I mean everywhere, to class, everywhere. It was like, listen, you know, watching some sort of martyr, you know? I mean, this is where we stand. So according, this is not in a vacuum. It turns out that the administration is pushing colleges to adopt very strict, very, how can I put it, victim-centered, I can't think of the word today, how to put it, but if you are a victim of a crime on campus, sexual assault, you have more rights than the person who you bring the charge against. They can't bring in people on their side to advocate for them. You are considered, if you are on this, guilty until proven innocent. And it's not right, because you really should have the, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but it doesn't work that way on college campuses. And the administration has put this agenda out there. And it,
well, that's sort of like the case in Virginia where the Greek fraternity, they shut them down and then come to find out the girl had made the whole.
And it's a lot of that goes on. And for those that don't think that's the case, and it, no, nothing's an event, nothing is all or none. There are always some evidence or some episodes where it's not how it happened. And do you want to put your finger on the scale in such a way that there is no chance for redress when you're innocent? You're guilty. You are kicked off campus. You are removed. You don't have right of appeal. I mean, it's like a military tribunal, basically, where the government is putting in the tenets of what constitutes guilt, what constitutes innocence, victims' rights supersede. I don't have a problem with victims' rights, but it should be fair. It should be well thought out. Not just everybody who brings a charge is automatically a victim, and everybody who they bring a charge against is automatically the perpetrator. It doesn't work that way. So now, New York State yesterday passed a law that you have to sign a contract, a sexual contract. Just imagine this now. You have to say that you take a picture of this contract saying, I want to have sex, and you take a picture, you both sign it, of you taking the, you have to have this somewhere written, and they recommend written and the picture form, so that if something goes down, you have proof that, hey, this was consensual. And but you're supposed to do this at every step. So when you start, every step, I'm not going to be graphic about it, but it makes no sense. And you now have the government legislating what you do in your bedroom. This is on college campuses. So right now, it's just the colleges that are doing it. I don't know. No, it's not voluntary. Sorry. It's a law because Cuomo just signed it. What happens to the rest of the society? How does this ripple through the rest of society? Do corporations now have their employees sign these things in case you have, you know, relationships intra-office that you have to prove that you... I don't know where this stops. It should never get started. But now that it's started, you've now opened up precedents. And it's not going to stop. It's going to continue to go through various parts of society. College is a proving ground. It's become... I don't know what it's become, but I'm really glad I graduated when I did, and I'm not in school now, because those kids are getting completely indoctrinated. And they're doubling down. Every time the government, especially the Republicans, which are, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing, they really are. They've not done anything to pull back on these social agendas, social engineering. They've done nothing but try to position themselves, as they've done for the past, what, 6-7 years, to get back into office. Yet they let everything that's bad about what they claim to be against go forward, if they're not bringing the legislation up themselves. I mean, I don't understand how they have, I mean, it's a whole different argument, but not really. I mean, we're talking about government intrusion on what you do in your bedroom in all sorts of ways. So they're legislating your behavior. They're legislating what's, you know, what's good and what's bad. It's all coming from central point and a central point of view. And if once you lose your ability to think for yourself, act in good faith for yourself, you should not be considered to be a criminal before proven innocent. Happened to us in medicine. It happened years ago when HIPAA came online. That Health Information Portability Act, whatever, it was completely ridiculous. And it's all about control and muzzling doctors. Our Hippocratic Oath supersedes that. We're not supposed to talk about anybody or share information unless it's to another physician for patient care. The government coming in and mandating this has nothing to do with what reality really is, being a physician or any healthcare practitioner. I'm sure nurses take a similar oath. So for them to superimpose this top-down regulation approach, all it did was add money to the system. We now have to sign stupid contracts with any vendor stating that they're supposed to keep information private. They don't even have information about a patient. If you get a pharmaceutical rep to come and give you a sample, or somebody's selling a medical device, they don't know your patient database. They wouldn't have any access to that. Why do you have to sign a vendor agreement with them? We're talking about third party here. You know, they're not even in your office. Maybe you pay them for a service. You all have to have contracts with each other. Otherwise, it's running afoul of the law. This is how ridiculous it's gotten. It starts off with one little tiny thing, and then it becomes this huge monstrosity that you can never really be within the bounds of, because it changes so quickly that you're always running afoul of it, whether you think you are or not. And then they changed the law. Not only did you have to fill out this thing, but hey, just in case something bad happens, you get hacked and your EMR in the cloud gets released. Well, that's your fault now, because you did it on purpose. You knew it was going to happen. You don't have, as a physician, the right or the opportunity to say, I didn't know, I didn't do it on purpose. You're considered guilty until proven innocent. That's the standard. What is this, some sort of, you know, French standard? You know, was it Napoleonic law? Isn't that where you're guilty until proven innocent? That's what we're moving towards. So there's no more, I mean, that's part of our creed of our country. Due process, habeas corpus, they don't exist anymore. They've stopped existing in the era of 9/11, but I don't think we all really realized it, but it's coming into focus and coming online. And whatever way you think about the Supreme Court decisions for Affordable Care Act, marriage equality, whatever, the way they did it is wrong. They went around the Constitution. They stepped on it to make a decision, which by all rights never should have happened. It has to be a state's rights decision. And that's the way, and I think if socially, if you want marriage equality, it would have come probably to the country in every state, but it would have been done in a democratic manner where the states voted, where the people decided, like they have in, I don't know, 20 states, whatever, already did it. That's a decision that the states made, that they actually voted on, that they had referendum on. So the government to just say, well, you have to do it, just takes, it makes it a longer slog. It makes it socially more of a contentious issue, and you don't get what you want, which is everybody to accept everybody and let everybody be the way they want to be. You actually get resistance, you get resentment, and you work against your cause, shoving it down somebody's throat. Same thing goes with the Affordable Care Act. That thing was a tax from the get-go. You and I both knew that. But they got sold at something else, and then they just pulled the rug to make it a tax again. And it's a bad tax. It hasn't even come online completely yet. This is the beginning. We still don't know how many people are really going to get a tax return, because it's been balled up in this round of the first, you know, partially implemented Obamacare. But it's going to get worse. I mean, I can only imagine. As I said before, you're going to pay for the privilege of getting nothing, of carrying a piece of plastic in your wallet, in your purse, that you won't be able to use. And that's tragic. But, you know, we'll talk about some options when we come back from the break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, on this show, I try to tie together the threads so that people can see a bigger picture. And I was listening to a show yesterday that really made me think and really hit the nail on the head. You know, what is the difference between, in your opinion, Dave, between the socialist, communist, progressive mentality and someone who believes in capitalism, in individuality, in freedom of choice? What's the difference, in your opinion, in their mindset? What makes you choose one or the other?
I think it's evolved, in my opinion, from the progressive standpoint, and I think Greece is the perfect example of it. That the progressives, and I've seen, I don't know how many times somebody will tout that they're liberal and they're, But you get them into a situation, and they're just like everybody else. They can be just as conservative or yelling and screaming what someone else would think would be a conservative position. But what gets them in the mindset is I think they're one, many of them are lazy. They want the government to provide for them. The others are that they are so self-centered that they think they're doing the right thing. I'm patting myself on the back for I'm taking care of this person. I'm helping the society, and the trees can't fend for themselves, so I'm going to protect all the damn trees. And it goes on and on and on. And I think a lot of it is self-serving baloney, but that's the way they get their. My best friend's sisters are both extremely liberal. They won't even listen. Their minds may, and they're both very well educated. One was a professor and one was an attorney. And it's not that they're stupid or not book dumb, but they don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up.
Yeah, I know. That's a big, I've noticed that too. Well, there was this a guy named Lord Monckton, who's from the UK. He's been writing about what's going on there, the, one world government, that sort of thing. He made a really interesting call on the difference. And you're part of you, that's completely correct. And if you go down to the kernel of it, it comes down to control, right? So his take on it was people who believe in the progressive ideology want people to be poor, destitute, dependent, because they know what's best for you. And in order to get you to vote for them, you have to be in this category where you want somebody to take care of yourself, either because you feel that way, I want the government's awesome, or because you are on the dependent financially, economically, you don't have a job, you don't have a place to live, you're all on the government dole, basically, a largesse, let's be nice about it. So in order for you to keep that money coming in, to keep your stipend, to keep what you have, you will vote for the people who promise to give it to you. That's what you want when you are in that mindset. And they love the control. This is a nanny state. You know what's best for me. You know how I should think. You know what every move I should make. You want to control me from cradle to grave. That's what socialism really is when you distill it, communism, and our government now. And the people on the other side who are the capitalists, who want individuality, they want people to have money, so that they won't vote. It's all about power, ultimately. Those who want it, have it, want to keep it. But there's a different mentality on how you keep it. One is, I want to put my foot on your neck and keep it down. The other is, I want you to be just as wealthy and free-spirited and pay for what you want to do because you'll leave me alone. We can all make money together. We can all have a better society. And that's the mindset. We need to get into that, distill it, take the emotion out of it. Stop being part of a tribe, tribal thought, because when you're part of a group that's supposedly victimized constantly, then you forego what's best for you, and you take on the mantle of, well, I'm a perpetual victim, why should I bother? You did it to me, so I'm going to get you back. That's just stupid. What does that get you? Look at that football player yesterday in Florida who punched the woman in the face. Now, she threw the first punch. A lot of stuff went down. They should, they're probably both wasted. That's not quite the point I'm making. The point is, he just lost his moneymaker. He just got kicked out of college. Was it really worth it to punch her in the face? What happened to sticks and stones, for God's sake? Name calling means nothing. You just ruined your entire future because you got your feelings hurt. Because the society tells you you should feel like you got your feelings hurt. Anybody waving a Confederate flag, you should feel like a victim. They're calling you a slave. These people are giving you these cues that you should have a knee-jerk Pavlov response to something that's said to you or some visual cue. Are you stupid? Really? I could care less about the battle flag. Care less. First of all, it doesn't even, the historical meaning of it, it wasn't pro-slavery. It was a Virginia flag, I understand, that was fighting against for freedom. It had nothing to do with slavery. It got superimposed upon that because we keep hearing that mantra. But I'm not a slave. This is 2015. I'm sitting in my studio. I have an office. I'm well educated, thank God, and I am far from a slave. And there's nothing that you're going to do to say to me to make me think that. And as I said a couple weeks ago, I'm sitting here because my ancestors were freaking strong. They made it. They survived it, and they thrived. I'm proud of that.
Let me ask you, isn't for the other side and what we see, isn't it easy to get something. They blame the flag. They blame whatever. So it's either, if they got an excuse, Baltimore, they had an excuse. Ferguson, they had an excuse to burn their own places. But they look for they're not slaves either. That's what
this is where the bigger picture comes in, Dave. That's what we just said. You actually, the people who you see on TV, on by and large, were not members of the community that got screwed over. It was people bust in, professional agitators, George Soros plants, all sorts of things to drive a narrative and to make that Pavlov response happen. And it's all about control. If you, now every time you, every time something happens, we just keep peeling back the wound of the 60s, the 50s. It's over. You got someone sitting in the White House twice, voted by white people, not black people. And all of a sudden, we just can't seem to get past, we haven't changed, it's no better. While you're sitting there, flying on Air Force One, have, you know, the various Congress critters doing them, making God knows how much money up there, tell me it's not the same. You have someone from New York, one of the Congress folks, who should be out because he's committing all sorts of graft, and he's in there. I think it's equal. Black people getting in Congress are getting treated the same way as white people. Commit whatever crime you want, be a felon, and you can get back up in there. Let it go. Honestly, every choice you make is on you. If you like to live in dirt and destitution and be the next gunshot victim, then so be it. That's your business. I don't want to live that way. I choose not to live that way. And I'm making choices in my life and have that work, that move as far away from that as I can get. And for people who sit there and just wallow in destitution, love it. Nothing makes them happy. If you put these same folks, I don't care white or black, if you have a poverty mentality, poverty consciousness, you can be in Beverly Hills, in New York, in the biggest high rise, and you will tear that mess down to the ground and still blame somebody for what you don't have or what you wasted away. I can't be bothered with that anymore. I don't want that in my life. I don't want to see patients who believe in that mentality. I don't want to work with people who think that way. And we now need to start making conscious choices. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white anymore. It matters whether you're going to have a bank account in the next year. It matters whether you're going to be in one of those Jade Helm exercises and they're doing a, you know, a live fire exercise on your butt. That's what matters. They don't care if you're black or white. They don't. And if you keep sitting there thinking that I'm going to get something because I'm a perpetual victim or someone, and the worst to me, honestly, is the white folks who believe that they're horrible, that they did it to some black person and I have guilt. You know, the white guilt? That's what they're trying to teach these guys in high school. I mean, really? So that's, again, some sort of version of mind control where you feel bad about yourself through nothing that you did. It's just wake up, take the blinders off, take a step back, and really start dealing with people on their character. I mean, Martin Luther King was right. It's not the color, it's the character. And I've seen there's still people of character out there, but you got to look for each other. But when you start talking, it's amazing how much you have in common with somebody when you get rid of the rest of the crap that goes on. There's nothing to me worse at this point than a progressive telling me how liberal they are when they think they're thinking racist things. Black people can't get ahead without white guilt giving up everything they have for the black person, or they need a leg up, 15 legs up, because they never, you know, they're just a poor black child. I mean, the education system sucks, but it sucks for black and white people at this point. Those guys are getting indoctrinated. It's like a concentration camp. They feed you bad food. You're in there 24/7. You've got teachers who are teaching students to feel victimized on one hand and like they're perpetrating the victimization on the other. If you're a woman now, something, you know, men did it to you. It's a war on men, too, to top it all off. It's just everybody at each other's throats. It doesn't even make sense. Do you understand it? I mean, I understand where it's coming from, but that's the progressive thing. You put people in this position where everybody's just at each other's throats. Everybody's a victim. And then the government has the ability to step in and legislate it and social engineer it into such a manner that everybody is just sheep. Just they don't provide, they don't do anything. That's not an existence, in my opinion.
You know, I don't know. Well, we got to take a break, actually. So we'll come back on Medicine on Call right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call.
I just realized what I do every time to when we come back is politically incorrect.
What's that?
I can't point at somebody, you know. That's a gun going off. Or,
you might be picked up if you're, you know, you're lucky you're not in school because, you know, hey. What about the little kid who got removed for sexual harassment because I think he kissed a girl or something? They were like kindergarten.
Yeah.
This is insanity. I mean, how many wars on various things are there in our country right now? I mean, let's count them. There's war on parents. California now passed this vaccine law, which we haven't talked about. But this, you no longer have a personal exemption or religious exemption for vaccination in California, which is completely against, I don't know how many amendments or parts of the Constitution. Individual liberty, that's number one. You should not be able to make someone work against their without informed consent. And this product that they're shoving, another product that the corporate industry is shoving down our throats, is not safe. It's not tested. Gardasil has never been formally tested completely. There are side effects. It doesn't even do everything it says it does, and it admits it on the label. I challenge any listener to go and get, just go online and read the actual inserts of these vaccination. Go to National Vaccine, NVIC.org, I think it's what it's called, and you can actually pull up and read the inserts of these hundreds, one by dozens of vaccinations that are out there. And all of them say the same basic thing. We don't know that it's actually safe. It hasn't been tested in pregnant women, and there's a chance that it may not work. That's the overall. So for you to make me take something that you're not sure is safe, that doesn't have 100% efficacy, means it doesn't work 100% of the time. People have died from it. You know, you're making me take something that could potentially kill me. And when I drop dead, what are you going to do about it? Send my family to a vaccine court? So what? It doesn't bring me back for something that barely really works. And again, this whole measles outbreak crap, there were a lot of people who had the measles vaccination who got it. No one talks about that. And they don't tell you also that when you do vaccinate your child, they're infectious. So we don't know if someone got vaccinated and then that was the outbreak, because that's what you have, a live killed vaccine or attenuated. So it can actually, you are infectious for a particular time when you get vaccinated for all of these things.
Well, let me throw the ball back in your court a second. And you know, I watch Fox, basically. But they had a doctor on, a California doctor on, that was supporting the vaccination, a pediatrician.
Of course, that's what they get. I'm not surprised.
Why would a doctor, why would a pediatrician?
That's a great question. You want to know why? Part of it is the training. The vaccine industry underwrites a lot of pediatric training. They give a ton of money to the Board of Pediatrics. Whoever controls the purse strings has the power. Nothing else you take from this show, you should take that. Follow the money. If they're underwriting your medical education and your yearly CMEs and your conferences, I can't tell you how many drug lunches we went to when I was in medical school. You know, they pay for your lunch while they give you a spiel. You know, I never subscribe to, just because you tell me I should do it, I should do it. I have a mind. And you, if I do write a prescription for a patient, I know why it's better than something else on the market, what the side effects are, and is it worth it? And most of the drugs now, let's be frank, they're not new. They are combinations of other drugs that have been on the market forever. Instead of you taking them 3 times a day, now you take them once a day. But they jack the hell out of the price by calling it a different name. This is a scam industry on so many levels. I'm not against medication. I prescribe it. But I think about when I prescribe it. Not everybody gets a medication because they have a diagnosis. Not in my office. And there has to be a reason why you give it. And as soon as I can get them off of it, I do so. And the only thing, in my opinion, really, that really you do need is an antibiotic. But you think about this for a second. This is a money-driven everything in our society. And into 1983, 86, something around there, where they grandfathered or made the vaccine industry, held them harmless for any problem that their product caused. So they can't be sued. They're indemnified. And every pharmaceutical vaccine that comes down the road, it doesn't matter how many people it kills, it doesn't matter how many people it maims, it doesn't matter. They cannot be sued. That's why they have a vaccine court. So they can make tons of money. In the UK, they actually can be sued, but they make the fines are so little, it's like one day's worth of their profit. Who cares? But for us, free for all. Because they've had that, they don't have that for antibiotics. You have now a movement towards vaccination for everything. They want a vaccine for, they're going to come with one for smoking, they're going to come with one for depression, they're going to come with a vaccine for everything. But they're not doing a lot of research on antibiotics. That's the movement. They're moving towards where the money is. And look, my God, if the government is mandating you to have a vaccine, they have a captive market. The government's making you do it. The government is paying them for stockpiling. They're getting a double dip. They get paid for the government to do it. They get paid for, by the government. They can make up anything and just say it's a vaccine and test it on you, and they can't be held harmless. I mean, I'm sorry, they are held harmless. You might as well be in the military because you now became a guinea pig. And what California did is willfully put their citizens in harm's way. And who's going to pay for all of the fallout from this? There's studies that have been coming out weekly, practically, about how there's a question mark about the connection between autism and the vaccines. We talked about it on the show. There's an ethical, moral dumping ground in terms of how it's been used against Black people. Black children, especially boys, are at higher risk of autism from getting their shots. MMR, it's too young. Most children get their shots too young. They're giving them when you come out of your mother's stomach, perinatal. You don't even have an immune system at that point. Why would they be giving you hepatitis B and the rest of this crap that you can't even mount an immune response for? But the mercury, the aluminum, all of the adjuvants that are in it, who knows how that affects the child? The blood-brain barrier isn't really formed. Who knows? And until you know, you shouldn't be doing it. And then it doesn't even have an efficacy. Can't. That's why they keep giving you guys boosters. If it really worked, shouldn't it convey, you know, lifetime immunity? That would be worth it. But to have to keep getting a shot every year, what's the point? Except you're putting more toxins, more whatever in your system that you don't know how you're going to react. And the fact that it's racially and sex dependent means there's something wrong with it that doesn't fit everybody chemically, biologically. Yet one size can never fit all. That's what's going on. So now we have a system where, got off the track, but follow the money, follow the corporate money, and follow who ends up being in the inner circle of the government where they get to legislate from within via their vis-a-vis their lobbyists. Monsanto and the grocery industry and all those guys have a ton of power. Why won't they label genetically modified versus not? If people are so dumb, they probably won't even read it. They'll just do whatever. But for those of us who want a choice, they don't want you to have choice. This is the progressive nanny state. Because every time you have a choice, human beings will choose against them. because no one wants to be a slave. No one wants to be subjugated. Nobody wants to be told what to do. And that's what their whole power base is based on. And they rig the system so you don't get choice. The medical industry has just gone to hell. I'm going to be honest. Anybody who's under 50, anybody who hasn't trained in the United States, I don't even know. Anybody under 50, even if you're training in the United States now, all you care about is being a part of a team, pulling plugs, making sure your cost center is down. The mentality towards patients who are ill in the hospital have changed. When I went through training, it was about helping people. You know, you have a medical problem. We have a problem we need to solve. Let's get everybody on tumor board, or let's have a conference and talk about this patient so we can look at it from every angle to fix them. Now these people who are sick, they're almost like they're pissed off at you for taking up resources because you're so sick, because you did it to yourself, because you're 300 pounds, you have sleep apnea. Ugh, I have to trach you. I don't really want to do that. Let's just put you on. I mean, that's the mentality. I'm not going to waste resources because you're not worthy, because of something I perceive that you did to put yourself here. And that means now you're a senior citizen. That's enough to make people pissed off at you at this point. Yeah, you got old, you know, die already. That's the mentality. And they're doing that now to neonates. I mentioned it in a show a while back that Canada, socialized medical system, the pediatric side of them, the NICU doctors, now want to withhold care from 22-week-old children because they're young, they're preemies. They don't have, in their opinion, they're not going to have good quality of life. They've got too many medical problems or potential medical problems. Why bother? They're concentrating all their resources. I don't think Ezekiel Emanuel came out of the whole cloth with this. I think this is the mindset, the global mindset of either you are productive, you're worthy, you're of an age that you can pay a tax and you can work, and those are the people we want to spend our money on. Once you've outlived your usefulness or you're not old enough to be useful, then see ya. And they're creating in all parts of our society false lack. It's always about there's not enough resources. Always. Not enough oil, not enough doctors, not enough food, not enough whatever, not enough water. These are all things that are created so that someone can take control of the resources and portion them out. And it's never going to be portioned out, no matter how much they tell you it's going to be fair. It's never going to be, because people who have the power will want to keep it at all costs. And again, the mindset is, and it seems to be moving more pendulum towards a progressive socialist setup globally, they're going to want to keep their friends with the resources while they give you the crumbs. And your job basically is just to keep them in power. That's all you're good for, is to vote for them. They don't care about your quality of life. They care about you go and push a lever. And you stack the deck by you bring in more people who need help, who are in a social, emotional, destitute condition. And then you give them power. And then you let them feel like they're empowered over the people who are already here. You just keep everybody on this constant them against me, us against them, while they suck the resources out of the entire system. That's the big picture. If you don't see it, then hey, you don't listen to my show. And that's the big picture. I mean, in a nutshell, but our job is to opt out of it. And it's the same guy in this interview was talking about the banking system and how it's really gone to hell. Greece is the beginning of the end. We should take note of Greece because it will happen to us. We're already over-leveraged by, millions to one. We can never pay back the debt that we owe. We know that. And his thing was, we need to create our own system. We need to create individually our own system of money, our own system of barter, whatever we need to do to opt out of the system. We cannot make it work. That's why I'm in medicine now. It's gone. I can't make it work. I cannot be within the system and do what I trained to do. It's not possible anymore. So my job now, and doctors like me are all over the country, we're leaving it. You know, it's, I don't want to take insurance anymore. I have no interest in taking Obamacare. I've got no interest in taking Medicaid, Medicare, because I can't do what I was built to do. And so we're going to create our own system. That's how you do it. I mean, let's take a break and come back. But there's no way now. I think the Supreme Court has killed anything that we can do to work within the system. It just won't work. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, I think the Greek tragedy, if you can put it that way, it's a cautionary tale here on if you, the government can't possibly absorb and take care of everybody when a majority of people are on government largesse or they work for the government. You know, the government has gotten so huge. There's a huge number of government employees now, more than anybody, you know, more than any other entity in our country, and they're making more money than the average person that's equal. You know, so a lawyer there and works for the government makes more than a lawyer outside of in the private sector. You know, there's just, it's a house of cards. And unless you have people like me, you, and people who actually are private, who are paying our taxes and working, the system won't survive. This is what happens with socialism down the road. The government reaches an endpoint of how much it can give. It reaches an endpoint of how much it can collect. When you have, we have a, one out of five people are on government assistance in our country. One out of five. That's amazing. And then maybe a couple more children, so they're never going, they're not working right now. So you probably have one or two people out of that five doing the heavy lifting of keeping our country afloat. And for that, it's not sustainable. You know, my thing is, if you want a global government and you want to control everything, don't you need people to buy your products? Don't you need people to actually pay for something that you're giving them? If you've destroyed everybody's economy and you've made it all central planned and it just doesn't work, then what's the end point? It's just dumb. I mean, so from just a entropy standpoint, it reaches a point that it doesn't work. You know, there's not enough people in the system working to create. There's not enough people in the system who want to work to create. I mean, you just legislate out what humans do. We want to create, right? We want to work. You get sense of self from being, but I also think you get a sense of self from what you do, what you create, how you work. Why work? Why sit on your butt all day? It has an end point where it's just not fun anymore to me, but working hard and then taking the break really has more power to it to me. So you have these people now who all they want to do is just take. There's no working going on. And the sad part is our mentality is it's never enough. So even though I'm living in an apartment, I have a VCR, I have great shoes, I've got great clothes, and it's all given to me, it's never going to be enough because you have this brain telling people someone else has more than you have and they took it from you and you need to go get it. That's the mentality that's driving people right now. You didn't earn it, but you have what I want, so I'm just going to take it.
It's not fair.
There you go, the F word. That's the new F word, because it's not really about fairness in the classic sense. Fair is given a choice, a chance to be who you were put on this earth to be without anybody stepping in your way or standing in front of you. That's fairness. Not giving someone crap, telling them it's gold, and then making them think that it's never going to be. It's just you're in this little rat hole. You can never get out of it. You're never really happy. You medicate yourself to death just to get to the next day. That is not an existence. It's just not. And all these medicines that are affecting brain function, affecting your ability to think clearly, affecting your ability to want to go and acquire, to work hard. I did an online CME credit course. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I wanted to do this one because I really, hey, what the hell? And it was about bipolar disorder and the medications that they have that they're giving people. And the side effects were metabolic syndrome. That's where your body just starts creating fat and it can't break the cycle. No matter what you do, you just keep getting fatter. You get lethargic, somnolence or sleepiness was one of the profiles, no libido, all these things that were just making you a slug, just wanting to sit in front of your TV and let your life go by you. That's how many people are on psychotropic meds in this country? A huge number. I've never seen so many people with bipolar disorder. And their thing was, you can have bipolar disorder, but you never have to have the manic part of it. But you can still have that diagnosis. It's like they're making it up as they go along. There's another thing. If you laugh too much, that's also a problem. I'm serious. Inappropriate. It's a pseudobulbar. They always have these little acronyms. But if you're a happy person, that's a problem. If you question the government, that's another DSM thing they're trying to bring online. Yeah, really, I know. So, but the thing is, if once you get a diagnosis in DSM, you build it, they'll come. Everybody's going to have it. Then they're going to start. Just think of where this ends, guys. If they can make you take a vaccine, what's to say they can't make you take a psychotropic drug because you're a problem to yourself and others and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just, where does it stop?
It doesn't.
It potentially doesn't. And I think as long as that the centralized power grid in this government, worldwide actually, will do whatever it needs to do to make sure they keep control. So they're putting everything in place so they can potentially ratchet it up. The police are just a symptom of a problem. The problem is control. Control of your behavior. And it doesn't matter if the police are black, white, or green. It's blue versus population. And we're trying to make it racism because it's something that we can get our minds around and just turn on the emotion and forget about everything else. But the gun control, the same thing. You know, we are being brainwashed to believe that having a gun in itself is the problem. All these shootings seem to go on in these gun-free zones in these states that don't have high gun rights to them. But you know what? If there's a bully that's going to come after you, and it's you and me, and you've got a gun and I don't, they're coming for me. They're not stupid. They're not. You can take all the guns that you want legislatively, but you're still going to have a group of folks that are going to somehow get them. And the rest of us are going to be sitting ducks.
Sort of like all of the publicity around the situation in San Francisco, and yet I only heard one time and one mention. And I'm not putting down San Francisco, because that was terrible. But Chicago had 40 killings this past weekend.
Yeah, over the holiday weekend. Yeah. I mean, again, this whole immigration situation is a heat. You know, it's all about making you emotionally invested in it. Whatever Donald Trump said, well, I read the transcript, and it's not exactly what they said he said. He didn't say all Mexicans, and he didn't say anything. I mean, the people from like a Univision and the progressives and all the things that are dropping out, these corporate entities are dropping out from their contracts with him. He basically, the kernel of what he said was true. Mexico is either allowing, there's a whole stories on this, people in trains being, transported to the border by the Mexican government. And they talked about how there were, the gang members associated with these guys, how they would pretend to be part of the family, say they were the dad, just to get into the country. There were stories of drugs being left at the border because they had to go on the run. This is not in a vacuum that he's saying this. And you know what? The people who should be the pissed off most about this are the people who come legally, who played the game, who did it the right way, who actually are coming in an orderly fashion. I don't care. I'm not against immigration. I'm against illegal immigration, because what it actually breeds is victimhood. Those poor children who are here without parents are at the mercy, on the tender mercies of whoever they're with, whatever foster parent, whatever church, who knows? We don't even know what happens to them when they get here. There's slave rings all over the world. And this is another thing that's really sick about this whole thing. The TPP, remember that thing that just passed? Well, the president actually did an executive order or whatever you want to call it, but he struck out the anti-slavery clause in it. So Malaysia apparently is a big human trafficking depot, and they would not have been able to join the TPP had the anti-slavery clause been in it. So he struck it out. So where are the progressive people? Where's everybody who thinks, and the Republicans? This is about human nature, about freedom to be who you are. Now you've got some sort of template that legislates and that okays human trafficking just for a buck. They don't care about you. It's all about the money. We just need to really come to grips with that. all the little bows and all the little presents that they wrap up beautifully for you about how it's all about fairness and women's rights and equality. Underneath all that is some serious, serious crap. Slavery. God. Cronyism. Fascism. Where the corporate interests will supersede anything. I've told you this before. In that same bill, if a corporate entity doesn't like what's going on with our laws, if we say, for example, a state says, I'm not going to allow vaccines to be given in my state, well, now that TPP can superimpose itself and say, well, that's against the interest of Merck or whomever corporation it is, and we will have to just abrogate whatever we do. We're now subject or subordinate to them. But we still have choice, and that choice is to handle your business. You need to actually do things with intention that's going to better you. And I think that's the answer. And I'm sure we'll go over it in more detail in future shows. So I hope you have a great week after today's show. Hope I made you think. And again, you can follow me on Twitter at Medicine on Call and check out my new blog on drelanageorge.com. And I'll see you next week.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.